No one is bigger than your king. And nothing is missed by his watchful gaze over you and the affairs of your life. King Jesus is in charge now. And no one can add to or subtract from that. This is the real message of Christmas, and Isaiah chapter 9 puts it so magnificently, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Isn't that something? From the day he became king, he got the right. All authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. He got the right to govern the world. And you look down through the millennia at the nations that have risen and fallen, and you will see a people given an opportunity, and a people taken an opportunity, and a people who have lost an opportunity. But he governs. They're on his shoulders, and they will never go off his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Not even when the world comes to an end. He'll never stop being king now. Upon the throne of David, isn't that something? Now we go back to that earthly lineage and that promise given to David. Isn't it something how God can give you promises and you think you know what they are and you later on find out they're just so much more than you thought they were? How many, you know, David was given that promise 1,000 years before Christ. That is 3,000 years ago. That you're going to have a son sitting upon your throne that will be eternal. And in Psalm 110, and I think it's my favorite psalm in the whole Bible for this very reason, that instead of Jesus calling his great-grandfather 1,000 years before him Lord, which would be the right way to do it, 1,000 years before this Christ was born, David called that king to come, my Lord. And David didn't know what he was saying, but he knew what he was saying. And it overwhelmed him because he then continued to write the psalm by revelation. He was talking about an eternal reign that would last forever, where multitudes from the north and the south and the east and the west would come in the kingdom of the resurrection that would last forevermore.
Hallelujah.
And into that kingdom, we are born of the Spirit when we become children. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. I love that. Once Christ sat on the throne of God in heaven at the right hand of his Father, and the Father made the promise to him that every one of his enemies would be made subject to him, including the last enemy, death. From that day forward, Christ would forever be enthroned as the King of Glory.
Amen.
And then just to settle the record, he gives it one last short sentence that's magnificent. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So in case any of you are worrying about how he's ever going to pull this off, but does he know what he got into when he bought me out? I mean, I can buy Donald Trump out and get somebody. But you bought me out. A sinner saved by grace. How will he ever do anything with my life? How will he ever straighten out the mess I have made? How will he ever be able to overlook the problems I have incurred? What about the wrath of man? He said, don't worry about it. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Now, I like that description of God because it means he's an excited God. I can't stand deadheads. I know why Jesus wants to throw up when he sees the Laodicean church. He's a zealous God. He's a sharp, sparky, fiery, full of life, get the job done, don't get in my way while I'm doing it kind of a guy, full of love at the same time. What a nice combination. If only we could get the two together.